Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October.
I want to
thank God is the one and only true living God, the creator of heaven and the universe. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ.
I agree, Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe in that.
Both as an American and as a Christian, I am going to stand with Israel.
Their theology, in part, is disregarding their Christian brothers and sisters. I met some of these Palestinian Christians and got to know them. They're delightful people, and they feel totally overlooked by their Christian brothers and sisters in the U.S.
Honestly, I think 30 years from now, it's the marriage redefiners who are going to look like knuckleheads.
And Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues, etc. the whole way.
It was a story that started earlier this summer on a baseball field. A young father fell from an upper tier at a Rangers game, leaving behind a six-year-old son when he died shortly afterwards at the hospital. And its latest chapter was written well on the mound of the Texas Rangers' first game of the playoffs for them, where that six-year-old threw out the first pitch to the man who had hit the ball up into the stands, Josh Hamilton. And something more to this story is being covered by the media. We're going to be talking about that story here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 4th of October. Sarah Pulliam Bailey joins us from Christianity Today to talk about that and another story. And after that, Bob Leko will be with us. See, Peter Wagner used to be a church growth guru. Now he says he's an apostle with individual authority over all of the church. He says there's a new apostolic reformation taking place. The whole church is being restructured that way. We'll talk with Bob Leko about that just a little bit later. Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org and online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What makes this story more than just a news/sports story?
Sure. So I am not too much of a baseball fan, but I really resonated with this story because of the touching moment that this little boy, this six-year-old boy, had with Josh Hamilton and his mother. Between the three of them, it sounds like there was a little religion moment that came out between them. And so we were interested in just kind of the religion angle. And then obviously there's this human interest story that came out of it.
So tell us the story from beginning to end, from the tragic death of this little boy's father at a Rangers game to the moment that you're describing here.
Sure. So Shannon Stone, who was 39, fell from the stands while trying to catch a ball that Rangers player Josh Hamilton had thrown him, and then he was pronounced dead at the hospital later. So the Rangers invited his son to throw the first pitch at the playoff game last weekend. And apparently what Josh Hamilton told reporters later is that between this boy's mother and Josh Hamilton, they had this conversation. And Hamilton said, I asked her if they were believers in Christ. She said they were. I told her, we know where your husband is right now, and make sure the little one knows who daddy is and what he stood for. Make sure he understands that. So there's this interesting conversation that Hamilton is revealing, that he is asking this woman about her faith, her husband's faith. And he's not just talking about his own faith, but he's kind of showing how that plays out.
And this is, in a lot of ways, very different from the usual gestures or expressions of spirituality or even Christian faith that you find on the ball field, right?
Exactly. A lot of athletes may talk about how they prayed before a game or God gave them the strength to win a particular game, but this is a very different scenario where Josh Hamilton threw the ball to this man and he fell to his death and he is relying on his faith, and he talks about how faith has kind of helped him sustain himself through that process. So there is not only the initial death and how he responded to it. But now as he's approaching the family, he's asking them about their faith. So there are different elements, religion elements that come out of the story.
What do you think if you were going to wrap up this story pursuing one of those religion lines, which one do you think would be the most interesting?
I think it would be pretty provocative if a reporter were able to pursue some of the tough questions toward, if they were to ask Hamilton some of the tough questions about his faith. Where is God in all of this? How do you see God's plan in this? Because he talks about those things, but when it comes down to it, this is a really tough story, and why would God let something like this happen? I think if you ask those tough questions, you might get some revealing answers.
On another story, you have actually noticed a contrast between two reporters, both covering religion, but both with very different perspectives and, in one case, very different outcome. In particular, Tom Breen and William Lobdell. Tell us about these two reporters.
Sure. So Tom Breen works for the Associated Press, and then Bill works for the Los Angeles Times, and they both covered the Catholic abuse scandal. And Bill came out of that scandal and just decided he could not be a Catholic anymore. Whereas Tom, during the Catholic abuse scandal, he kind of had this cultural Catholic background in his family, but he wasn't a committed attendee of Mass or anything. So they did take opposite directions, where Bill lost his faith, and then Tom, looking into the Catholic abuse scandal and looking into more of the details of the Catholic faith, became more devoted and became a regular Mass attendee and those kinds of things. So they took opposite directions from the exact same storyline, which we thought was pretty interesting.
And it also kind of, in some sense, settles a question that I'm sure journalists ask themselves all the time, but especially with regard to coverage of religion. Can someone who is personally a devotee of a religion be an objective journalist when it comes to covering that religion in particular? What's your conclusion there?
Exactly. I thought that was one of the more interesting pieces of that, was that Tom says, you know, he uses the analogy, if you're a sports reporter, if you're going to be a good hard-hitting reporter, you can be a fan of the Chicago Cubs and then cover them for that team, because you're going to know so much of the history and the background and then the current nature of the game. And so you're going to be able to pursue that with a level of expertise that somebody who isn't a fan might not have. So he applies, you know, it's not a direct analogy, but he applies that to religion reporting. If you have this background of being religious, if you studied religion, if you personally have kind of that experience, you can apply that to other religions. So you can be Catholic and cover Protestants and Muslims because you understand how that plays such a huge role in their lives. So I think Tom did a nice job of explaining kind of the analogy of being a sports fan or being religious and being able to cover religion from an objective standpoint.
So do you think not only does it vindicate the now very rare reporter that actually is a devout whatever in covering religion-angled stories, but do you think it may offer a bit of, maybe a step up in understanding the religion mindset, religious sensibilities for that reporter?
Exactly. I think if you have really studied religion personally, you're going to take a level of seriousness, and you're going to try to see yourself in the eyes of somebody else. Even if you aren't personally Muslim, you're going to try to come see how they come to those conclusions, because you've come to the same kinds of conclusions through religion. So I think it helps, it assists you as a reporter in having that background in research and personal motivations towards religion.
How do you respond to somebody who says, you know, the journalist's task can't be colored by these things, and religious ideas and ideals run so deep, I mean, how can they not, that it is going to lend some bias to reporting on religion? It would be better to have an agnostic or perhaps just an atheist reporting on religion stories for true objectivity. How would you respond?
I think everyone, any journalist comes to a story or a beat with a particular point of view in terms, you know, they're going to be shaped by their, wherever they grew up, by their sex, by their parents and their education, they're going to be shaped by so many factors that religion is one of those pieces. And so you acknowledge that you are shaped by a particular point of view, but you can still go into it and still dig in and still get into those details as a journalist and do it in an objective manner. Some people, it might be harder for some people more than others, but I think that people who are religious feel a devotion towards truth. You know, for instance, if you're a Christian, you feel the truth is, the idea of telling the truth is a very core concept in the faith. And so journalism can be one way of telling the truth. And so I think that religiously, journalism goes right alongside with religious beliefs for many people.
With only about 30 seconds here, Sarah, is it, practically speaking, is it difficult sometimes, in some contexts, maybe the newsroom or around the editor's table, to be taken seriously if your fellow journalists know that you have a religious persuasion?
To some extent, I think it can be hard because you see why something is so explosive or interesting to a particular audience, but it may not translate to the broader world. For instance, a couple of months ago, everyone was talking about Rob Bell's new book and universalism. Everyone, I say, in kind of religious spheres. And so, but it was a particular set of people who were very fascinated by this story. So I think it was initially hard for a lot of reporters told me it was hard to convince their editors that this was kind of a national story until they saw that that book hit the New York Times bestseller list. So I think initially, it's hard to make those arguments until you add an additional piece to your argument, like, see, this is doing well on the bestseller list, so we need to cover these ideas. But if it's complicated and complex and the editors don't personally resonate with it, I think there are some challenges initially.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org, an online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back, Bob Blico is going to join us. C. Peter Wagner says he is an apostle in the new apostolic reformation of the church. We'll see what that means right after this.
How would you like to win the Essential Lutheran Library? Books like Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, Law and Gospel, the Lutheran Service Book, and the Lutheran Book of Prayer, and four more resources. All you have to do is share the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video on your Facebook page and send an email to contest@issuesetc.org. You'll find the video at issuesetc.org and click support. We'll announce the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library on Friday, October 28th.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.